Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina, and hopefully you guys were able to have a blessed July 4th weekend with family and friends, and everyone stayed safe, dry, and healthy. And today we want to build upon our study of possessing our inheritance and looking at the steps we can take to allow the dew from heaven to allow us to be able to bring forth fruit in this season. And last Friday, when we first went through the first part of this, we talked about how the dew renews the face of the earth, how it just allows us to bring this washing and regeneration of what the Lord wants to do in our life as we align ourselves with Him and our purpose for Him in this earth and for this nation and for the Office of the President. And today we want to look at of how the dew provides a strength to move forward. And the verse, really two verses today I want to highlight, are found in Isaiah. The first one found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. And out of the New American Standard Version, it says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Now, we've all heard this one a lot. We understand it. It's used in many contexts. But also, I want to go to this one. In a portion of Isaiah 30, verse 15, it talks about how in quietness and in trust is your strength, and the New King James Version talks about how in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And we see here, as this is the scriptural example of showing us that, you know, in order to find the strength that we need for the next season, we have to get quiet and rest before the Lord. And we talked about that with the wilderness in the past season, being prepared for this season, but even in the midst of this just continual process, news cycle, whatever the case may be, with events that happened yesterday, July 4th, etc., is we still have to be able to be in a place where when that dew falls, in the quiet place. And that's one of the things that when dew comes, it's in that quiet place where there's not a lot of heat, not a lot of wind. It's just in the still of the morning, in the still of before the sun rises, as the sun rising, and it's just a place of rest. And we have to ask ourselves, is, okay, we understand this scripturally, but are we walking this out? And so we don't want to get in this place of haste, anxiety, which allows us to get caught up in the warfare, not at that place of peace and walking out the fruits of the Spirit with the Lord. So we just lay these examples out in Scripture of, okay, the Lord's telling us. And there's other plenty examples throughout the Old and New Testament about how we've seen prophets and the disciples and apostles walking out this place of peace and being able to have the fruit of the Spirit. And John Paul Jackson always used to say, he says, peace is the potting soil of revelation. And we see here is that if we walk in that place of peace with the Lord, even if you're going 100 miles an hour down the highway, if you have the peace of the Lord, you know, your car can handle it, the system can handle it, you can still be in a place of strength. I'm not advising that. But I'm just saying is even, things are going on around us, if we can just have that place and be with the Lord and walk with Him, we can be a light to those around us and guide ourselves through this season ahead. Okay. So with that, I do want to dive into the news, and let's go through this. I want to stay high level on some things and dive into a few things here and there. Yesterday, we all celebrated Independence Day. It was a great day of even for us here with family, celebrating the gender reveal of my next son. And so we're seeing that things can still go off even in a time where should be celebrating and focusing on the great things that the Lord of this nation have provided us. And so we saw the events in Chicago, or unfortunately, or outside north side of Chicago, where six people were unfortunately died through a parade and 30 were wounded. The believed gunman was apprehended. And then you also saw last night to where there were shots at a Philadelphia fireworks show where police officers, there's not a lot of details that I'm finding out about this one yet because it happened so late. But two police officers were unfortunately wounded. No one's died yet that I know of. One of the police officers got grazed in the forehead. The other one got shot in the shoulder. But they are doing fine from my understanding. But guess what's coming with this is the mainstream media. Everybody's going to be talking gun rights, this, that, and the other. And first we see the comments made by the president himself. He basically came out and said, Jill and I are shocked by this senseless gun violence. On Independence Day, talking about he's spoken to the officials. He's going to be monitoring this closely. And then he goes on to talk about how I recently signed the first major bipartisan gun reform legislation in almost 30 years into law, which includes actions that will save lives. But there is much more work to do, and I am not yet going to give up fighting the epidemic in gun violence. And even the, if I go back and read this, the, if I remember, the mayor of Philadelphia ended up coming out and saying, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney said at a late night press conference that it had been a laid-back, chill day, but we live in America, kind of throwing America and gun rights under the bus. And then he said, if I had the ability to take care of guns, I would. Okay. Just to kind of highlight this scenario. If that were the case, if you really cared about guns, let's go back and look at Chicago. Just this past, from Friday to Sunday morning, there were unfortunately 31 people who were fatally died and then are shot. And then ultimately the whole weekend ended up seeing 54 people who were shot in total. Plus Chicago itself and Illinois itself is from Michael Bloomberg's Every Town for Gun Safety list. Illinois is ranked as the sixth most stringent gun laws, has the most stringent gun laws in the country. Gabby Giffords gun control group lists Illinois as a grade of A- on gun control. And the list of things that people have to go through, basically they have to be put on a gun registry, have a firearms owner's identification card before they can even apply to go through a background check to be able to have the ability to purchase a gun. And it's just red tape, red tape, red tape. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps to take as you're going through the process of purchasing a gun in Illinois. This is from the Illinois State Police Department. And so you're seeing these pushes for gun controls. And I point this out to say, okay, if it worked, if having these laws in place worked, then you wouldn't see what's happening in Chicago right now, what's happening in Baltimore, Atlanta, other cities. If that were the case, okay, yeah, cool, I'm all for it. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Now, in Biden's July 4th speech, he talked about how liberty is under assault, both here and abroad. He said some things that were, he goes back and forth, talking about freedom, founding fathers, about how, we have things to work on, we're progressing in the right direction. Sometimes we take a step forward and then we take steps back. He's just all over the place. But in reality is okay. I want to look at what he said because we're here to pray for the office of the president. And he again went on to call for, more gun control, more things to allow abortion to have its day, in light. And it's really a nothing burger as far as speeches go. But we do want to be aware of it. Again, the alarming thing is the push for gun control. And again, Bob Jones warned us about this. So I say all this to say is at the end of the day, we're this is the atmosphere we are in the natural here in America. Now, this leads into kind of our prayer point. First prayer point for today is things that are going that are happening at the border and going to be happening and changing here in the next couple weeks. Is Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas came out on Sunday on CNN, CBS's morning show, and said that the United States, because of some actions by the actions by the Supreme Court and their votes to basically uphold the Second Amendment and overturn Roe v. Wade and Casey, that the United States is a heightened threat environment for not only gun safety but justice in because there's going to be, you know, protests and this and that and the other. Meanwhile, you have, and I want to pull this up, in the coming weeks he also talked about the transition out of remaining Mexico, saying that it will remain in place for several weeks, but that eventually we'll be removing it. And the thing I want to point out here is, you know, he's talking about a heightened threat of violence in America, but at the same time, he wants to remove remaining Mexico, remove Title 42, allow people to come into the country and then seek asylum. And he is saying this, he's saying, he pointed this out, that in the fiscal year of 2023, the budget calls for 300 more Border Patrol agents and that the department is hiring case processors. So what he's telling you there is that of the 300, they're going to try to hire people to process asylum seekers and not necessarily hire people to secure the border, which is quite, quite alarming. He also talks about how in fiscal year 2022, that the department has stopped more than 400 vehicles and rescued more than 10,000 migrants from criminal smuggling operations, which, wow, okay, let's see. All right, we see this side of it. But then we see from representative from Louisiana, Clay Higgins, who is on the House Committee of Oversight and Reform, when they were talking about gun violence, he talks about how his numbers that he has, estimates from conservative groups and people who are at the border, are that the administration, Department of Homeland Security, has lost about 250 known suspected terrorists. Now, these are high, high numbers. If this is even close, this is quite alarming. And then the fact that you have, he is quoting, a 700,000 gotaways that they had and they got away. And then there's the unknown numbers of people crossing the border. I say all this to say is that we want to look at, okay, what's going on with the border? We're very well aware of the increased relationship between Iran and Venezuela. And we want to pray for this administration, for those within the White House, someone who has a voice to speak up and have the fear of the Lord for this nation. We do not want to pray that this White House and this administration just do not do their job. And so we want to repent for the actions of the Biden administration to weaken the border security and ultimately intercede for a voice with the fear of the Lord to rise up in the White House, to speak light to darkness, the veil that is there within the White House on this issue and a host of other issues just be removed. And there was an NPR put out a poll from the AP showing that 85% of Americans think that the country is on the wrong track. Now, that could be for a host of reasons. And Biden talks about, we're a united country. We just need to do what I say. And as long as we do what I say, we'll be on the right track. We'll digress from that. But this is where this administration is at. But there are voices that are in this White House that aren't speaking up now that need to speak up. And we want to cry out to the Lord that those voices do not have the fear of man and have the fear of God to be able to speak out in this season and then in the season ahead, if anything else were to pop off. So we see that there, and that's kind of where we kind of tie in the issues of yesterday of how we can pray for that. We want to pray for the families involved. It's tragic that these things happen, but at the end of the day, if we're seeing how these things are going off now with Americans, who, by the way, the shooter in Chicago, he would have passed all the red flag laws. He would have passed every little law Chicago has in place, and he did, because Chicago has some of the most stringent gun laws in the country. And so we're saying that just because you put these in place doesn't mean this is going to stop this. This is a hard issue. There were reports that talked about how the guy in Chicago, he talked about how there's nothing that can stop him. I mean, it was demon possessed, to be blunt about it. And again, an interesting, for those who've been paying attention for quite a while, with us here is let's see if they're also talking about the fact that he was on what medications he was on, what drugs he was on, those type of things. The line of marijuana leads to psychosis, and psychosis leads to these unfortunate shootings. So we're seeing the reality of this play out before our very eyes, of the lack of the fear of the Lord within not only the White House, but then again within the nation, and in some cases, even within the church itself. And so we want to pray for that to arise in this season. Now, next, we're seeing Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra come out on NBC's Chuck Todd show saying that, and again, I want to pull this up because this, again, liberal news sites are saying this, and this is not true. Politico is saying this, that the vote to overturn Roe v. Wade was a 5-4. Like, I read the document. It is 6-3. I don't know where they're getting, how they're able to get 5-4 if there is. Again, somebody please help me understand this, because when you read the actual ruling, it is 6-3, not 5-4. This is the really fourth or fifth news organization that I've seen continue to claim this. This may not seem like a big deal, but in reality, facts matter. And when you're butchering a fact such as that, it's quite alarming. And when it's blatant to see, and I wonder if they've even read it. Did they just take it from CNN, ABC, whatever the case may be? Where are you getting your facts from? It's just quite alarming. But then he goes on to say is that they understand the rules of the land, but at the end of the day is the Biden administration and President Biden and the people who are high up in the administration have told him to seek aggressive strategy on abortion, more so pills through the mail, et cetera, stuff like that. He talked about how they're not going to do abortions on federal lands because of the laws that exist in certain states and the legal ramifications for everyone involved, which would be disastrous. So they even understand the power line of authority. And then, you know, he talked about how Democrats are mad at him, but he's saying, give me some good ideas. And then he also popped off and said something that is actually quite something that I think most people aren't aware of, and I think we need to be aware of it. He says, I've been around long enough to know that nothing's ever totally safe. Basically saying that he believes that eventually somehow abortions will get put back in place. And I just speak death to that. You know, let those seeds be choked out. Let there not be you on that. He goes on to say, we still haven't even been able to pass the Equal Rights Amendment that was first brought up in 1923 and then ended up being voted on in the 70s. And he says, so this country has a way to go, but certainly I don't believe that this decision by the court in Dobbs is going to stand long. This is just not America, and we are not talking rights here. And suppose, you know, just women, just the women, just the women. And I get, like, look, there are women who need education. They may need help. They may put in precarious situations to where they need the love of the Lord. They need the church to stand up. That's good. 6-3 is written, 5-4 is reported. That's pretty true. Go back to the Dobbs case. But I point this out of this Equal Rights Amendment. And this is basically a push to allow the federal government to decide how states rule on a host of issues, from abortion to the transgender stuff. And again, I point this out because this goes back to, there's a great article from CNN that I'll post if you want to read a little bit more about it, where it talks about how 1923, this was brought up. So when we sit here and say, oh my gosh, this is a lot of people who don't pay attention to this stuff, and sometimes myself included, is we don't fully understand history. And we have to, okay, where is this stuff coming from? And this idea is not anything new. It's been around for 100 years, 99 years, 1923. 2023 is right around the corner. So this stuff has been around trying to seep its way in, and there were those who foresaw this day coming of allowing the federal government to have its day in power, to where they could be the ones deciding and not the states, on cases like abortion, on cases like LGBTQ agendas and gender and stuff like this. And so it's a host of other issues. And there are groups involved in this that understand the realities and ramifications of if the Equal Rights Amendment were actually put forward. And there's an argument about whether it's actually been voted in and stuff, but that's what he's talking about there. So it's quite alarming to see him say that, but to also see that the president and the White House are asking Health and Human Services to aggressively seek alternatives to abortion. That is quite alarming. And that's what we want to pray for here today, is to repent for the Biden administration continuing to stand up for the pro-abortion agenda and the mass murder and slaughter, child sacrifice of children, and intercede for the veil not only be removed from the White House, but from the church itself, some are okay with this in the body of Christ. And at the end of the day, there's going to be a judgment for this, and we just want to repent for this. We want to ask that their eyes be open and the veil be removed, and for the church itself to get itself together and to stand for life. Okay, last story, and then I'll close out on a good perspective for us to walk out this week. Okay, we saw Biden put out a tweet talking about how he's going to demand gas prices go down and that the gas companies and gas stations lower their prices because of price gouging. And there may be some of that. I think intellectually honest, you can't say that there is not any of that going on. There might be some as they're trying to salvage their profit margins. And so, okay, you call that out, and then, you know, at the same time, you're saying this, I'm going to do everything I can to lower gas prices, but let's also look at, hey, some of the things you're doing. But I think one thing I want to point out is when he said that, there was a Chinese politician who works for a Chinese state-run news agency, state media official Chen Wuye, who praised Biden for finally realizing that capitalism is all about exploitation. So if China's, and that's not necessarily something good to be aligned with. And basically the Chinese official is saying, yeah, you can manipulate capitalism because China has crony capitalism, but I digress from there. So we're seeing this statement being made from President Biden, the Chinese official basically patting him on the back, say, good job, you finally get it now. And then even Jeff Bezos is like, no, you either are completely ignorant of the basic market dynamics, or you're just it's a straight up misdirection and lying. And then so he's talking about how gas companies need to lower their prices, while at the same time, when we talked about this a while back, but I think the realities of this is very, very alarming, is in their future plans for drilling in the days ahead, onshore and offshore, there are only 11 lease sales over the next 5 years. And they were forced to add at least 11 because of court cases. And they're still fighting that. And the plans, some plans have no lease sales up to 11. So this is quite alarming. Nothing in the Pacific or Atlantic. Trying to adhere to everything to the climate change agenda. And so you're sitting here seeing the complete opposite of what President Trump wanted to do, and complete opposite of what is needed, not only now, but in the season ahead, not only for America, but for the rest of the world, because as America is energy independent, it's beneficial to the rest of the world, as we're seeing with issues with Europe and their ties to Russia and even other countries, to China and Iran and Venezuela. So I want to point this out because we need to be aware of how this administration, the steps that they're taking, going back to the gun issue at the beginning of allowing, we want to pray for our freedoms to continue to stand in this season, but also as our officials are taking a break over the next couple of weeks, they're back home, they're doing town halls, they're talking to constituents, is let's pray that and intercede that that our leaders, both Republican and Democrat, have the fear of the Lord on figuring out what to do next, because they think that there's a decision to be made, and sometimes the best decision is no decision, but these are people who want to get things done, so they're going to try to do something. What is that? Is it to pass a law, or could it be to say, hey, no, we're going to leave things as is, the laws are good on the books, and really awakening to what's going on, and in reality, pray that they continue to support the original intent for this nation and to stand up for freedom. And that leads me into my last point and my last story. And I want to highlight this because I think it's something that really ties in. It's funny how the Lord does this. When I go through and I read what I'm going to talk about through building foundation through scripture, and then just the news stories as I search each day, kind of lead up to this, is that there's an interview from the Epoch Times with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, and she talks about how growing up being a governor, she says she can't go wrong with using the U.S. founding documents as a guide and a light, because they're there to show government officials what they can and cannot do legally, and nonetheless morally. And so she talks about how even, you know, there are some decisions through COVID that she stood up for, the LGBTQ issue, in the state, the transgender bill in the state of South Dakota, that she got hammered on by Republicans who were saying, how dare you, and it was flawed, and they came back and actually put a better bill forward, and she signed it, is it's a good perspective of understanding, and this is just to promote her book, but I think it's a good perspective, is she talks about how, you know, she didn't grow up around politics. She grew up on a farm working, and they lived their politics. They lived, you know, what they said they stood for, as believers should. But one of the things I really, really want to point out is even during her decision to speak up and say she wasn't going to be a tyrant, decide essential and non-essential businesses, and she let businesses and individuals make the health decisions that they wanted to for themselves, not forcing a vaccine mandate, she said, even other Republicans in the state of South Dakota and around the country and her supporters were warning her that if she took these stances, that it would ruin her politically. And it has done the exact opposite. Because she looked at the data, because she looked at the Constitution, because she looked at the Bill of Rights, because she looked at the Constitution in South Dakota and the rights that she had as a governor, she said, no, I am not going to trample on people's freedoms. They're smart enough. They can make their own decisions for themselves. And it has catapulted her into a place of, for those who are very aware of some, knowing that if she were ever to be put in a higher position, that she would look at how this nation was intended to run from the founding documents, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Anonymous talks about that, and go back and read to the founding fathers of that in a lot of their writings and personal journals. But she goes on to talk also about how faith and family are a big thing, how her husband plays an important role. And she's a yes person, you know, talked about it how before, about how these politicians, they want to do something. And she wants to do something, but she understands is she needs to have a balance. And her balance is her husband, who tells her and walks with her through of, okay, if you're given this decision, this opportunity, here are, you know, let's say in this example, she said, there are three examples you have, three decisions you can make. And they pray about, they think about the ramifications of what this will mean for people, not only now and currently of getting, you know, what people want energized and pushed through, but what it'll mean for future generations. And they pray about it. They seek the Lord for guidance and wisdom. So I want to point this story out, is there are leaders like this, known and unknown. There are leaders who are, and there are people within the and government houses across the state and in Washington, D.C., who are quiet, but they're behind the scenes. And they're who we want to pray for. That's why we want to pray for the office of the president. Not just, yes, we want to pray for the president himself, but for the people and the administration and the workers and the staffers involved, because they still have a opportunity to have the fear of the Lord, to walk out the fear of the Lord and advise the president, advise government officials like a Daniel to repent for the sins of their leaders and of the nations when they go wrong, and to advise them to take the proper decisions, because the Lord will speak to our leaders. They'll give them dreams. they'll give them some opportunities to make the decision that the Lord would want for them to make as they're put in this office, and the offices that they're put in. So I want to close on that this week, is let's find the strength to move forward after, you know, celebrating the great freedoms we have here afforded to us, not only from the Lord, but from those who made the self-sacrifice. And for those who serve and have served, we are very truly thankful here at Pipeline. We will always honor the sacrifice and self-service that you guys have made for this nation. And so I'll close with that. Not sure what noon prayer will look like this week and going into the month of June. We're still kind of deciding that as we're determining travel with everybody and stuff. But know that we will be here in the mornings for our morning briefings and our podcast at least, and we'll let you guys know on noon prayer. We might do some here and there, but close out with that, end on a good note, and blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.